Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, as always, for the entrance of your word that gives light, brings in light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light, as always, we pray this prayer every day, let that light shine in our hearts, bring revelation knowledge, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome everyone to the room. Today's lesson is going to be on Let Him That Glorieth Glory in the Lord. That's what we will be dealing with today. And I'm going to start in Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses there. You know, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Well, we can add anything else to that. It means whatever you have, don't glory in that. Whatever you are, whatever you have accomplished, don't glory in it. But let him that glorieth glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And that's our lesson today. You know, let's take a look. Let's look at our lives and see everything that we are and everything we ever hope to be, we owe it all to the Lord. And we should never, you know, sometimes we forget. And even so subtly, you know, subtly, we will take glory for something, you know. But the glory belongs to the Lord, you know. And the Lord said, you have robbed me of my glory, saith the Lord. And the Lord asked the question a few times. He has asked me this a few times. Is it for my glory? You know, one time I was, several things I was asking, even for the growth of the church and different things like that. And the Lord asked me one day, he said, is it for my glory? I said, well, of course. And he asked again, is it for my glory? You know, so. And then one time, you know, after that, I came out, I actually preached some lessons on that. But the Lord asked me that question first. And I'm also asking us today, you know, take a look at your lives. And let's be thankful for whatever he has done. But let's give all the glory to the Lord. And here are the things that God is particularly interested in when we are glorying in him, that we know him. You know, Paul said that I may know him. Hallelujah. I mean, there are many people of God who have been on the quest to know the Lord, despite great things that have happened in their lives. Moses was such a man. I mean, in spite of all those incredible miracles that he partook of, yet he said, Lord, that I may know you. Show me thy glory, Lord. And Paul, after all those things, you know, he said, even went to third heavens and all of that. He said, look, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, the Lord is saying here that you may know me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. Now, loving kindness is a word that is used only for the Lord. That's it. You know, loving kindness is used only for the Lord. And, you know, if we can even comprehend that, it'll blow our minds. You know, how that God gently loves us with all graciousness. And he's gracious, he's kind, he's slow to anger, and of great compassion over all his works, particularly his children. And I want to also read to us, you know, another lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or another text from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one and try to cover several aspects. I will start reading from verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10 to verse 18. You know, so that's the end of that chapter. I will read that in the King James. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Let's break down each of these verses as we go through. Paul here is saying that, look, I'm not going to be in the business of comparison. You know, comparison, looking at what others are doing. He's talking even about things of the ministry here. You will see later on, you know, and people that commend themselves, you know, how great they've done, or what great things they've done for the Lord, and so on and so forth, you know. And sometimes when the Lord truly blesses us, even in the ministry, and especially in the ministry, sometimes we forget, you know, enough time passes, and we think that we are the ones doing these things, you know. Just like, you know, the Lord had blessed King Nebuchadnezzar with so many things and made him to be rich and head over all the nations of the world, basically at that time. His kingdom ruled over them. All the others were his territory. But one day he got up and said, "Well, is this not great Babylon, you know, that I have built, you know, for the excellency of my glory, the majesty of my power? Are these things here not the things that I have done by myself, you know, for my own glory?" And he just began to go on and on, you know, and he did not give the glory to the Lord. And then right there and then, the word of the Lord came upon him. The decree of the holy watchers got him. That the demand of the holy ones got a hold of him. Until he would know that the Lord God rules in the affairs of men, gives it to whomsoever he wills. I mean, you all know the story. And God turned his heart into the heart of a beast. And it began to change. It began to grow claws and began to grow, you know, and God said, you know, the holy watcher said, "Well, you're going to find out who is really in charge and who gave you all these things. Drive him out. Drive him out." You know, and it became like a monkey or anything you want to call it. It began to grow whiskers and hair like an animal, claws and everything. Maybe even began to grow a tail. It looked like a monkey. You know, God put him down. And they drove him out of there because he was grotesque. And they sent him out. And he went into the bush for 7 years, you know, among the animals. I mean, can you just imagine? And there's some stories in this Bible that are just, I mean, absolutely mind-boggling. Well, God did that, you know, and God put him down like that, you know, and then, you know, God wanted to show something. But after 7 years had passed, of course, the word of the Lord, you know, said that, you know, let there be a, you know, a stump left to him. So there was something. So he came back and God restored his mind. And then all of a sudden, he returned to being a human being, you know. His structure, bone structure, everything began to change back again. And next thing he knows, you know, looking like a man, got cleaned up. People now actually started remembering all the great things he did. And there was trouble in the land that they couldn't resolve. And they remembered that when Nebuchadnezzar was there, he actually did some great things. So they looked for him again. And then when he came back, He gave what I personally call perhaps one of the greatest accolades in that Bible to the Lord. Coming from somebody who was strutting his own stuff and didn't care anything about, you know, giving glory to God, you know, coming from him, you know, so what he did and said at the end, my goodness. Let's listen to some of the things that he said at the end. You know, he said, look, you know, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever. Well, should have done that at the beginning. Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now, he knows that. And all, listen to this, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before the Lord. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. He figured out that God commands even the holy watchers, you know, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Say, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, brightness, and all of that returned to me. And my counselors and lords sought unto me again. You know, God created a situation that they remembered and they looked for him, and God wanted to restore him after God had already shown him who was really in charge and who should have gotten the glory. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me as at the first. I put that there. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his judgments, his ways are judgment. And those, listen to this, Nebuchadnezzar figured this out. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That's right. And the sin of pride is a terrible, terrible thing. Pride comes in so many ways. You know, Lucifer himself, you know, we read that the other day, he was the cherub that covereth. And everything was good. He had music. He had all kinds of things inside of him. I mean, he was so close to the throne, you know, almost like, you know, second in command. And until the day that pride entered into him, he looked at all, you know, that he was doing and how close he was to the throne. He was even the one that was, you know, over all the affairs around the throne. Nothing happened. Nothing moved anywhere except there was an unction from the throne. And he was the one that, you know, heralded every command that God gave from the throne. It was the cherub that covered. And then he said, look, I can actually do this on my own. You know, I want to be like the Most High. You know, I'm going to ascend to the hills, the sides of the north. I'm going to set up my shop. I'm going to set up my throne. I'll be like the Most High. That was his first mistake. You will not be like the Most High. There is nobody like him. He's all alone in his own league. Even for those of us whom God has ordained that we eventually be like him, we will still be subordinates to him ever. Because he is all in all, so that he might feel all in all. And when all that pride began to enter into his heart, then God kicked him out of there. You know, so back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul describing that, look, I'm aware of these things and I'm making sure that I won't be like that, glorying, measuring myself with others, comparing. When people compare themselves among themselves, the Bible says they are not wise. So it is not a wise thing to compare yourself. to look at your achievement versus others and think that you can outdo them and so on. We will not boast, he said, of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. I mean, we're not going to pretend like we are, you know, something we're not, you know, because we came to you, we preached the gospel, you know we did that. And where we haven't reached, we haven't reached. You know, we're not give, when, it give, we, when we give testimony of the places that we have reached for Christ, we're not going to embellish it. This is what Paul is saying. We will not embellish, we will not stretch ourselves beyond our measure. You know, even those of us who are doing the work of the Lord today, reaching, preaching to people like I am on this platform daily, even in your own life, wherever you go out, you're reaching out to the people, you're witnessing for Christ daily. We must not embellish it. Do not stretch yourself beyond your measure. Don't embellish it. Just say it the way it is, you know, and so forth. And he said, look, not boasting of things which we have not actually accomplished, not boasting of things of other men's labors, you know, but having hope that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged, you know, and so forth. He began to go there and say, look, we want to preach the gospel, not only to you, but to others, you know, and we will do the best we can, but we understand, you know, that the things that God is doing, he does it through many people. We will do some, others will do some. And we don't need to boast of one another's things. You know, they are doing that, we are doing that, we don't need to compare and so forth. And he said, look, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. He's referring to that same Jeremiah 9. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, for whom the Lord commendeth. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. That's a summary of that text. When you commend yourself, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's God's commendation. It is God's commendation that matters, you know. And Jesus gave us many illustrations about that. He said, look, you know, I don't honor myself. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your God. And he would tell them different things. But he also encouraged us when we are serving the Lord, you know. And remember, all of us are able ministers of the New Testament now. We all are, whether you have a title such as teacher, apostle, or pastor, prophet, or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. We've covered ambassadorship in this, on this platform many times, you know. So Jesus always told them, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And, you know, if you follow me and you are serving me, where I am, there will my servant be also. You know, moreover, he said, he that serves me, my Father will honor him. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, that shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's the honor that counts, ladies and gentlemen. Honor from anywhere else is irrelevant. True honor that comes from God. That is the honor that matters. Now, but when either God gives us the honor or we achieve any honor, we need to come back and give it back to the Lord. Give it back to me, said the Lord. You know, it is the honor from God that matters. The honor of men or the honor of our own selves doesn't even matter. Let another praise thee, you know, and not thy own lips. You know, so the honor that really matters is the honor that God gives. So, God will honor somebody. God will exalt somebody according to his own riches. And he does that. But sometimes we forget that that honor came from God, and we should give that glory to God. And there have been other examples in the Bible where, you know, somebody did not give glory to God. I mean, it's a story in Acts chapter 12, Herod and all of that. You know, on a day when he was giving a tremendous speech, people say, wow, you know, sounded like an orator. And everybody said, wow, that's got to be, you know, an angel that spoke and everything. And as he was saying that, the angel of the Lord actually, as the people were saying that and he was taking the glory and not giving the glory back to God, the angel of God actually smote him and turned him into rottenness, you know, and he was eaten up of worms right there in the presence of people. And some scary stuff has happened in the past. God's been merciful to us these days, you know, that those things, the judgment of God is not swift like that these days. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, his word will stand sure. Yes, it's long-suffering, giving people a long rope to repent, but he will by no means clear the guilty. You know, so, you know, what we want to make sure, according to this lesson, is anything that we want to glory on, let us glory in the Lord. The knowledge that even God gives us, the depth of the wisdom of God that God even gives us, anything that we have, anything that we are, you know, we need to give that glory to God. You know, and for those who are also doing things for the Lord, let it be God that honors you. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you serve me, follow me. Where I am, my servant will be there also. And if you serve me, my Father will honor you. You know, and when we commend ourselves, the Bible says, it is that one is not what matters. The honor of man or the honor of that we give ourselves is not what matters. It is the honor of God. Who that commends himself is not who is commended or approved, you know, but it is the person that God commends. For the same reason, Jesus teaches us many lessons, such as, you know, when you go to a feast, don't go and find the best place and sit down, you know, as a man of honor. Because, you look around, you think that you are the one that place belongs to. Well, you may be dishonored, Jesus says. Somebody may come there and kick you out of there, you know. And then with shame, you begin to take a lower place, he said. He said, but when they invite you to such a opportunity or a place, you take the lowest room. You sit down there until, you know, somebody calls you and say, come up higher. And then you have honor in the presence of everybody. So Jesus is telling us how, you know, these things work. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. But he that, you know, humbleth himself, you know, is the one that will be exalted. Now, to be abased or to be exalted? God even asked Job, you know, are you able to look to everyone that is proud and bring them down? Can you do it? What? Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, the Lord is the one that can do that. Everyone that is proud in their heart, the Lord can bring him down. And the thing the thing is this, you know, when we receive honor from men up and down the place, you know, and you seek not the honor that comes from God, Jesus asked the Jews a question. He said, look, how can ye believe? John chapter 5 and verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? How can you believe? I mean, how can you truly walk with God if you are always seeking honor from men? The same thing that people, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6, when he was talking about all the hypocritical attitudes. He said that, look, even some people, when they pray, he said, be not as the scribes, the Pharisees, for they like to stand in the corners of the streets and pray so that men may see well, they can pray and that they are pious. And that way they receive honor from men. You say, well, they have their reward. So every time we receive honor from men, this is serious business. When you receive honor from men, you have your reward. And you can't get honor from God. It's one or the other. So, you know, now, especially those that are seeking it. Now, if people honor you truly without you seeking it, that's okay. Because the Bible also commands us to give honor to whom honor is due. But if in your heart, you're secretly, you know, wanting that honor from men, then the Bible says, you got your reward. I mean, he said, you know, for a pretense, they make long prayers, you know, and so forth. But go check out what they are doing in their lives. They devour widows' homes and stuff like that. You know, and he said, look, you shall not be like them. You know, and other things. You know, people give alms, offerings, donations today. And some people in the churches actually get carried away, you know, when they do these things. I mean, you see people give donations, they take picture, make a big, large check. They stand by it. People say they gave this donation. And even in churches, you know, I mean, I have had to beat down, you know, some semblance of that sometimes. When somebody will say, oh, this person gave this, let us come out here and say this and say that. I'm like, no, you know, we're falling right into the same traps again. Some people, where they give donation, even to their church where they go, they want to be acclaimed. They want to come out. They want someone to come out. Even if they won't say it themselves, in their heart, they just want someone to come out and say what they did and so forth. And in fact, what did they really do that's not been done? You know, but, you know, these things are glorying in the flesh. You know, glorying in the flesh. We're told to not glory in the flesh. If you want to glory at all, this is the thing that you should focus on, that you understand the Lord, that he is the one that, you know, exercises judgment in the earth. And he's the one that, you know, has this attribute of loving kindness, grace, and mercy. He's also the one that is able to look to everyone that is proud and bring them down. You know, so wanting to be seen, wanting to be known, wanting to be respected of people can be called the pride of life. It's one of those things that we are told in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and so on. It says, look, you know, that we should not love the world or the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world, you know, those things are enmity with God. And he begins to call out some of those things. And one of them is the pride of life. Love not the world, he said. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I'm talking about that today, the pride of life. How we secretly enjoy and glory in the honor of men. I mean, you know, this is what this is all about. And God says, no, that should not be you. The only thing I should focus on is not only giving all the glory to God but knowing who God truly is. That's what's important. And Paul took a long lesson explaining that we're not going to be comparing ourselves with ourselves. You know, there are people that are always trying to outdo the other person, outshine the other person, and so on and so forth, even in the ministry and even in your private lives. You know, and some people talk about comparing yourself with the Joneses or whatever. You know, what is that all about? You know, and also let's take note to this. Now, whether people give you the honor you deserve or not, you know, you don't need to grab it. You know, we are told that no man takes this honor unto himself. When we're talking about the priesthood and everything that we covered in Hebrews, when Aaron was called to the priesthood, and when Christ was called to Melchizedek priesthood and all of that, even Christ, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we're told that, look, he didn't grab at anything, you know, but he humbled himself. And God, because of that, highly exalted him. Some people are always grabbing at stuff, you know, grabbing at positions, grabbing at whatever. And it happens even in the church. People grabbing, jostling for positions. There are so many churches are broken up because of this jostling for positions and stuff. You know, the book of Joel describes, you know, something about the Joel army. Said at the end of the age, they will keep their ranks. You know, they will not break their ranks. They will not jostle against one another. There are many aspects of this lesson. I'm just throwing it out. It's coming to my mind. The key thing that came to my mind for this morning was the fact that, you know, we should not glory in anything other than glorying in the Lord. And how do we glory in the Lord? Well, we look at the Lord, compare our lives to his attributes. Do we look like him? You know, do we understand his nature? And if that's so, we give him the praise and give him the glory. And, you know, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, what is the whole matter? I mean, what does the Lord require of thee? Many scriptures that talk about that. What are the, I mean, after we've gone up and down, what are the conclusions of the whole matter? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Well, in another scripture, he says, you know, what does the Lord require of you? You know, but for you to walk softly before the Lord and all of that. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, let's read that as well. Micah 6, verse 8. And pull that up. It says, look, what does the Lord require of you? But for you to walk humbly before him all the days of your life. Now, that's one thing that Nebuchadnezzar found out. You know, the Lord has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. I mean, humility before the Lord is one of the greatest attributes. And that's how God promotes people. For whosoever humbles himself is the one that God promotes. And when you vaunt yourself up, then God puts you down. For he resisted the proud. The last thing we want is for God to resist us. You know, if God is resisting you, then your prayers will go nowhere. So that's the last thing we want. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Now, humility can be described in many ways. You know, and pride can also be described in many ways. Now, also in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Well, "and now, ye saints of the Lord," put your name there. "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But for you to fear the Lord thy God, walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him, all thy heart and with all thy soul." And if you put together the other ones we read, like in the one we read in Micah, it also means for you to walk humbly before him. You put together the one we read in Ecclesiastes, you put it all together, you can say it like this: "What does the Lord require of me that I should know him?" You look, put together the one in Jeremiah as well. That is a God, the God that exercises loving kindness, mercy, righteousness, and judgment. "For in these things he does delight, and that I may love the Lord my God with all of my heart." That's right. "All of my heart and do his ways, and I may walk humbly before him, to fear the Lord and to give him glory all my life." And you put all those things together, that's it. You know, so now, as we go through life, let's keep something else in mind. There are a lot of things that we glory in, which God actually despises. You know, so I will leave this other scripture with you before we close. I've quoted this scripture many times in the context of many rooms that I've done. And here it is again. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. "Ye are they," Jesus said, "which justify yourselves before men." I mean, ye are they, you know, you look for honor, you look for this, you look for the glory, you do all of this before men and so on. "But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men," the honor, the glory, the accolades, the titles, all these things that we esteem among men. And Jesus said, "These things are an abomination in the sight of God." Now, abomination is a very strong word. I mean, it even goes beyond displeasing. And he could have said, "These things displeases God." But when you say abomination, I mean, God, I mean, it's revolt. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't even know the word, you know, to use before, you know, the Lord, when you say this thing is an abomination to him. You know, he doesn't even want to see it. Doesn't want to hear it. I mean, abomination. These are the things that are highly esteemed among men. What are those things that are highly esteemed among men? Well, honor of men is one of them. You know, accolades and titles are one of them. Distaste, these things bring distaste to God. Repulsive, you know, it's repulsive to God. He doesn't want any part of it. But yet, these are the things that we honor. You know, the things that are highly esteemed among men. Just look around in the society today and in the church and in the kingdom today. What are the things that are highly esteemed? Well, James wrote about it. He said, look, don't have this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of men. What happens if somebody comes to your congregation or your fellowship that is, I mean, really looking good? They drive up in a Mercedes, they flash, you know, their nice clothes, you know that they are a doctor, this and that. And you gravitate towards them in honoring them. I mean, you go out of your way to honor them, you do anything. If they give a little donation, you want to broadcast it. If you, whatever they do, when they come in, you give them a nice place, you do this, you do that. And then, you know, those are the only people that you actually associate with. And then you turn around and somebody comes into the church, raggedy, clothes and everything, and you wouldn't even associate with them, and you just toss them in the back or something like that, because they don't look good, they don't smell well, and so on. And James says, you have become judges of evil thoughts if you do that kind of thing. You know, so that's another aspect of the things that are highly esteemed among men. We esteem, you know, natural placement of advantage in life. If somebody is naturally placed in life as an advantage, you find that even churches are, you know, appointing well-placed people to areas of ministry, as if that is how God chooses. You know, if somebody is affluent, if somebody is well-placed, then they are going to appoint him to something. Is that how God chooses? I mean, look at those whom God has chosen. You know, the Bible says, you yourself know who God chooses. You know, how many mighty and how many great and all of these things that God chooses. That's not how he works. You know, but God chooses the base things of the earth to confound the mighty. You know, and Paul, you know, he spent, you know, a good deal of time, you know, talking about these things. And he said, look, the things of God, people of the world can't understand them. But the Spirit of God is the one that understands them. These things that we are talking about today, even though it seems so simple, well, this is the reason how great many people are falling. This is how people fall from the grace of God, you know, because they do not, repeat, people do not tremble at the Lord, and people do not give glory to God for who he is. And they boast of many things outside of, you know, what God said we should actually glory in. Now, the things of this world, in the ways of this world, this present world, they do not glorify God. No matter how great and good they look like. Jesus said, for the most part, if those are the things, you know, that people highly esteem, said for the most part, an abomination to God. You know, so let's redirect. This is a bit of a consecration lesson today. Let's redirect our thinking and our glorying to glorying in the Lord. I am going to leave it there for today. You know, a word, they say, is enough for the wise. The summary of what we have talked about today is that we should not glory in the things which the world naturally glories in. You know, we should glory in the Lord. Now, this same thing is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's so many different places. You know, last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 brings out the same thing. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. You know, it's not the great things of the world, you know, that God chooses. You know, God doesn't choose the wisdom of this world. God doesn't choose the wise of this world. In fact, that's what we read in Jeremiah 9. Don't let somebody that is rich glory in his riches. Don't let somebody that is wise glory in their wisdom. Don't let somebody that is powerful glory in their power. You know, don't let somebody that's in authority glory in the fact that they have authority, but glory in the knowledge of God. You know, and sometimes we try to think of ourselves as smart, as wise, as this, and as that. And if we're not careful, it tends to lead to destruction. You know, now, the things that actually please God are the things we've talked about today. Humility, walking in the fear of the Lord. Knowing and seeking to know the Lord, seeking to understand his ways, humbling ourselves before him, doing righteousness and judgment, and keeping his word, and these things, and so forth. Now, all the other things that we normally in the, you know, chase after. Those are not the things that pleases God. And it is not who commends himself that is approved of God, but whom God commends. And God doesn't always choose, God doesn't always call the rich. God doesn't always call, the highly placed in society. You know, God can call anybody he wants. You know, we saw that when Jesus was out calling disciples for himself, he didn't go out and call, the rich or the highly placed or even the lawyers, the doctors of law and so on. You know, that wasn't his target. Most of the people he called, fishermen and ordinary men. I did call one person that was a lawyer and thought he was very smart. That was Paul. But the first thing that God did to him, well, his name was Saul at the time, was he put him down, made him to feel weak, and blinded him for 3 days and all of that. And at the end of it, he came to the point where, the Lord, after having dealt with him, he had to humble himself. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. Ladies and gentlemen, let us learn to honor the Lord. There's no respect of persons with God. You yourselves know, the scripture says, how many rich, famous, and all these people are called. But when God calls you, no matter in your low estate, he's actually able to to promote you and exalt you. And if we are too exalted or feel too high, we may be demoted. These things have happened in real life. And these stories that we read in the Bible, I'll tell you one last story here, and I will round it up. Many years ago, when we first started the ministry, and after that, we moved to another building. There was a woman that came to our church, and she knew how to play the piano and stuff like that. And one day she was telling me she used to be a millionaire. At that time, she was poor. told me how she used to be a millionaire and everything. She was on top of the world, and all the things that, she just felt like she had it all, and she, with her own mouth said, through pride, she lost it all. Well, that's all I can say about that. I don't want to go into too much detail, but these things are real and it happens. But for the person that humbles themselves before the Lord, glorying only in the things that actually, is what God actually asks us to do, they're the ones that God will exalt. So that's our lesson today. I'm going to leave it like right there. He that glorieth, let him glory not in himself, not in your riches, not in your wisdom, not in how smart you are, not in even how well you can preach, or even how well you can teach. And those of us who are teachers of the word, we shouldn't glory in any of that. But we need to give glory to God always. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in the room listening to this. And we pray that, our lives will exemplify Christ, who though he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Wherefore, and he was obedient unto death. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him. Father, teach us, Lord, as we saw in Christ, the road to his glory was through the humbling of himself. May we also understand that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will promote you, saith the scripture. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.